powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Hour number three of Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Look, I'm sorry. I can't continue until I just address this for 10 seconds. I apologize.
Sure.
I want to first apologize to my co-host, Stacy, for raising my voice at her in that last discussion. That was unnecessary.
I appreciate that.
And I don't
that.
Feel good about it.
Thanks,
I really
Tom.
Don't feel good about it at all. And I said a number of times on this show that I hope that the two things you get from it are that you're entertained and that maybe you learn something, you know, like, oh, you know, that we're also interesting. being entertaining and being interesting are the two things that are most important to me. But given the world that we live in right now, sometimes other things have a way of seeping into the content that we address. And as you can tell, some of it is very personal to me, to Stacy, to Jake, you know, just on a given day, depending on what the topic is. But I hope that when you hear that, when you hear one of us, well, me, go berserk, I hope that that doesn't turn you off to what we do 99% of the time here. You know, just try. I guess my point in that last segment was that maybe we need to be a little bit more forgiving of one another's mistakes. You know, so if I make a mistake and you like me otherwise, try not to hold it against me, because we've got some other good stuff coming at you for the rest of the show and the week and the year and till the end of time. So thank you for allowing me that 1 minute of, what do you call it in church? A penance? Yeah, your penance. When you go back and you say a couple of prayers, that was my penance right there. Thank you. All right, the highs and lows from the Seahawks. Were there lows? Well, you know what? Forget it. We're going to do it this way. We'll get to the lows in a second. Highs first, right? Each of us have a high. Want to do it that way?
I thought we'd go what? Just to avoid, to keep having fun and to avoid three lows in a row. I think it might be fun if each of us go high, low. So we say our highs
okay.
and lows first.
All right, let's do that. Let's let Jake talk
okay.
first. How about that?
Sounds
go
good.
Ahead, Jacob.
Okay. So to me, my, what should we do here? Let's do the low first and then the high.
There you go.
Good news
on the back end. And
okay?
positive.
So the low for me was Quentin Dunbar. High expectations. They trade for Quentin Dunbar before the Jamal Adams trade. This was the marquee move for John Schneider and this front office group. And you hear in week one, after battling all the legality issues that he had in the offseason, going through a training camp where really didn't show up in great shape, but worked his way in, his smarts, his savvy, his veteran experience really shined through in training camp. And the coaching staff and the players talking very positively about how Quentin Dunbar fit in. Now, you get into week one, and you see Dunbar play uncharacteristically from what I've seen from him on film. Playing in off coverage when in typical fashion, he has been a press in your face type of corner. And that just told me that he was uncomfortable out there. So in week one, you didn't see a great performance from him. Oftentimes you saw him get, you know, tangled up in coverage, meaning that, you know, the receiver just completely separated from him. He did at the end of the game have a chance to get an interception, but that was more of a bad throw from Matt Ryan than anything else. So that was my low for the game, but I do expect Quentin Dunbar to get better. This isn't Jake being automatically low on Dunbar, and this is a bust of a move. Actually, I think the opposite. I was encouraged by the fact that Dunbar kept playing. He made some plays down the stretch, and that Dunbar will be an even better football player here in the coming weeks. You just hope it's just a rapid transition. Now, my high, the two storylines that we've talked about so far really, and address them a great deal is Russell Wilson's performance, Jamal Adams' performance. But really, the other story of the game was the defense coming up with four fourth down stops, and none bigger, in my opinion, or more exhilarating than watching an opportunity for Marquise Blair to come up with a big play here on fourth down in a fake punt.
A fake field goal.
Ball's out.
And the ball is out. Fake punt, I beg your pardon. The ball was out, and the Seahawks recover just across the 35-yard line. A fake punt called. It was snapped to the up back, who then coughed it up, and the ball is recovered by Freddie Swain, the rookie wide receiver on the special teams, and the Seahawks have the ball back.
In that moment, I thought for sure that they had it. They were able to get the fourth down, but you see Marquise Blair again just continue while he's on the field to be a hammer out there, delivering a big hit and also being opportunistic. That was a huge play to kind of change the momentum in a positive direction. And really, in my opinion, give the Seahawks an opportunity to really separate themselves from the Atlanta Falcons.
I missed that play. I still haven't seen it, even to
wait,
this
wait,
minute.
Wait. The play of the fumble recovery?
Yes.
Wow.
I was out of the room when it happened, and I heard Constance and my brother-in-law screaming about it. But I actually, even to this minute, have not actually seen that play. But again, whether it's, you know, defense, special teams, coming up with those big plays, that's what this defense has always been. Big plays. Timely plays. They're not going to just, you know, shut you down. They're not the 2000 Ravens or the Buccaneers in 02 where they're just going to shut you down and not be able to advance the ball at all. Just not what they do, but that was a great play. All right, my high and low, I'll go real quick here. My high, Lockett is the new Baldwin. He's so reliable you don't even notice. Like, you're going to notice DK Metcalf. You're going to notice when Olsen makes a play because he's new. You're going to notice Will Disley because you're always just rooting, you know, and hoping that he can stay healthy, and any play he makes is great. Mm-hmm. Tyler Lockett, I feel like I've gotten so used to that when a pass is completed to him and he gets a first down and he's the chain mover, it's just sort of routine. So that, to me, is one of the highs, that he's so good I don't even really notice it anymore. The low of the game, nothing.
Nothing?
I didn't think there was a low. There's still concerns, but I don't think there's anything in the game that qualified as a low. To me, a low is something that's out of the ordinary that almost costs you the game. I didn't see any of that. Yeah, Griffin and Dunbar weren't locked down. I mean, Falcons got a lot of yards on it, but they redeemed themselves in big spots on more than one occasion. So they kind of evened things out for what I would give like maybe a C+, B- grade for the two of them. Even the O-line, which cost them some field position with penalties. I mean, that's going to happen, first of all. Hopefully they can clean it up. But that's more what I would call like an acceptable casualty, mm-hmm. if you know what I mean. Like, it's not something that was so terrible, it's like, oh, my God, we're going to lose because of this. You know, that would be a low. I didn't see anything like that in the game.
So nothing that, in your mind, it was like nothing that would have cost them the game, nothing that, oh, they got lucky to get out with that one, which I agree with. Like, there was nothing
maybe
that...
Maybe the DPI, but other than that. I didn't even think that. But that didn't decide.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, I had kind of a similar issue, although... So I'll start with my low as well. I said just inconsistent play from defense. I found myself thinking kind of the same thing I thought at the beginning of last year, although even after 1 week, I think this year's defense will be much better. But it was, there are so many stars that my expectation is high, right? And I think that's the case for most fans. And because of that, when it doesn't meet it, you will look for places where it didn't. And that's something that fans do. It's something that we do as radio hosts. And I think it's something the players do, right? Absolutely no one is more upset about any single missed tackle or a pass completed on them than members are of that defense, you know, Monday morning when they were waking up looking at things to correct. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't really excited about the things they did well and the things that we think they did well. Both of you have mentioned this, but while my low was inconsistent play on the defense, not my high, but kind of the upside of that one was that they made plays when they needed to. They got a sack when they needed to. They held the Falcons to 0-4 on fourth down. Those are huge, huge, huge things. That fourth down, Pete Carroll mentioned this, that fourth down, you know, fake punt that they had was converted successfully until it was punched out by Marquise Blair. But otherwise, like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things where, like, if Marquise Blair isn't there at right the right time, that works for them. And then what's the game look like? So I think because of that, the bar is raising for this defense. So they unfortunately will get the low for this week, but I think that they can certainly get the high. The high is easy for me. It's Russell Wilson, and I'll credit also Russell Wilson and Brian Schottenheimer's aggressiveness. One of my favorite plays of the game, maybe my favorite play of the game, this touchdown right here to DK Metcalf on fourth down.
Four-man rush. Russ looks. He's going to lay it up over the top. He's got a man down there. It's Metcalf. He's got it. Touchdown, Seahawks. On fourth down and 5, Russ takes the snap, stands back there like a patient man and waits, and 14 gets open for 6. A 38-yarder. Holy smoke. You guys are covering DK Metcalf with one man. Forget about it. He beats him for 6.
Did you guys go back and watch that play? DK Metcalf, first of all, that poor soul, he manhandles that dude, like basically just shoves him aside to get open. Wilson sees that. He has to know in that moment, this is a touchdown. We're golden the second I see DK break away from this guy. I am actually not, I think I trend more conservative on what would be fourth down decisions. Like, I would probably be more like Pete Carroll in those moments than, you know, I would be like, I don't know, like Bruce Arians or Kansas City's offense. Like, I'm not going to go for it that often. But I thought that was a great decision. Great move by Wilson and Schottenheimer. I loved it.
I loved it too. One, because DK early on in the game struggled with drops. Mm-hmm. And you wonder about, you know, the psyche of a receiver. And for DK Metcalf still being a young player, he was able to shake it off. He was able to make big contributions down the stretch, and it was a great job by him. But leading up to that play, guys, I don't know if you guys caught that, but 3rd and 4, they send a toss out to Homer on 3rd and 4, and Russell Wilson did not look particularly happy looking at the sideline. And with how quickly they got that ball off and how quickly they went for it on 4th down, it makes you wonder, right? I think you point to the staff being ready to go and being able to make that move at that point in time. But I also wonder if maybe Russell looked at that sideline and said, no. We're not punting it here. We're not going for a field goal. We're going for it on 4th and 5, and you're putting the ball back in my hands. And I think that was a fun setup, a fun sequence. And guys, I have to tell you, my biggest pet peeve, 4th down, and your best play call is going to be a go ball, a 50-50 chance of completing that. That's where you look at go ball percentages. Oh man, I hate that. But DK absolutely blew by the guy. Russell throws it perfectly, and a beautiful touchdown.
Should we get to some NFL headlines here,
yes,
shall we? We have an interesting one to start. Poor Steven Gostkowski last night. He looked like the loneliest person on earth for about an hour and a half last night because he missed a couple of field goals. And as Steve Levy pointed out last night numerous times on the broadcast, Tennessee's kicking game struggled all of last year. They pick up Gostkowski, and here in week 1, they're having all the same problems. Poor guy just looked like totally defeated. But he comes out, and he does nail what ended up being the game-winning field goal to give Tennessee the win at Denver last night. So he missed 3, made that last one. So they get the 16-14 win. Guys, do you think that if he had missed the last one, the game winner, that he would have been cut today? What do you think, Stacey?
No, I don't. My gut tells me no.
Great kicker.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Maybe when it's a pattern, but no.
Yeah, I would agree with Stacey. This guy has been rock solid with the New England Patriots, but it also... It goes to show that Bill Belichick might have a really good pulse on knowing what his personnel is and where they're at in their careers. I mean, with with Tennessee's kicker. I mean, he was outstanding for New England, and then he comes over to the Tennessee Titans, and man, that was a struggle of a game one for him. But you just have to love in those moments him getting a chance to redeem himself at the end, and boy, he did. And hopefully this is just a mirage in his career, because Tennessee fans were losing their minds on social media because apparently they've been dealing with some major kicking issues all of last season. And to see it unfold and manifest itself again in week one, they were losing it.
By the way, did you notice anything strange about Ryan Tannehill's face when the camera was close up on him?
Like a facial expression or his face?
Yes. No, his facial expression. Maybe I've just not picked up on this before. He has what I call perma-smile. You guys ever noticed that in anybody? Like, there's these two baseball players from the past. One, not the distant past, but one was Joe Nathan, who was a pitcher. The other was Joe Randa, who was the third baseman. They called him the Joker because he always had a smile on his face no matter what. Like, regardless of the situation, just sitting there, he always has, like, this big smile on his face. Ryan Tannehill has that exact same thing, and it's almost eerie because all these tense situations the Titans were in last night while they were driving, and he's just smiling away. Just, yeah, I'm a happy guy. It was weird.
I've never noticed that before about Ryan Tannehill. I do know what you're talking about in people in general. Todd Bowles is also one of those guys. When I had him as my head coach when my rookie year, he would literally be cussing out the team, and he would be smiling. His face would be in a smile. And it's like, and he talks really quiet.
How do I feel?
And just like really calm. It was the most bizarre thing. It's like, I know you're really angry at us right now, but everything about your demeanor and your delivery doesn't even equate to the words that are coming out of your mouth right now. So he's been a fantastic coach, a fantastic defensive coordinator. But Tom, in that circumstance, that was one where I can definitely relate to you on that.
Holding penalties were down 78% in the NFL this week compared to week one last year. Fluke? No fluke? Referees just not calling it? What is a possible explanation for that, guys? What do you think, Stacey?
I have no idea. No idea. If you would have asked me, we talked about this. You did ask me, what would we see in week one? I was thinking immediately offensive line mistakes, holding calls, maybe some false starts in there. It is so hard. I mean, I'm only saying this based on things that I have heard about playing on an offensive line or about the chemistry you need and just the skill and timing you need. I thought that there would be so many more mistakes there, and there weren't, and I have no answers. I was wrong.
78.
Yeah, I had crow for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, I did too. I thought for sure we would be seeing a whole bunch of sloppy plays in terms of penalties out there in NFL week one. But I have no idea how to attribute this. this goes to defy all logic in the way that I know football. But man, that's great to see. And I think it also helped to the product that you saw on the field. There's no crowd. It was as great of a job as the NFL did in covering that. It was strange without having the fan interaction throughout the game, and I think having the lack of penalties overall really did help feel like, okay, this is real NFL football. We're rolling, we're going, we're not slowing down for nothing. So I thought it was great.
You know what was interesting? I noticed this on last night's broadcast. When the referees made a call that went against the home team, normally you'd expect to hear boos from the crowd, right? I started wondering if the home stadium operator would pipe in a booing noise for the referee, and they did. I thought maybe the NFL would kind of warn them not to do that because they don't want their, you know, referees being shown up, but they actually did do that. I was semi-impressed by it. We have a couple more headlines. Do you guys want to do the headlines next, or should we do something else?
We can keep a few of these headlines going. We've got quite a bit of NFL action from the season here, or we could also do callers.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take some calls then.
Okay.
We gave you our highs. Yeah, let's do that. We gave you our highs.
I want to hear from the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your highs and lows? The high point, the low point of the game. 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Right now, though, what is on tap?
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacy. Brought to you by Dietz and Watson. So, folks, what's on tap?
Tonight's Mariners-Giants game has been postponed due to poor air quality. The series will be moved to San Francisco and then played on Wednesday and Thursday. Boy, that's ironic, having to move it back there after what those poor people have been going through in the Bay Area. God, what a disaster. Our prayers, for any of you who are listening who happen to be down there, our thoughts and prayers are absolutely with you guys. The Heat and the Celtics will get going at 3:40 p.m. and the Nuggets and Clippers tonight at 6. Your call is next. Once again, 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Tom, Jake, and Stacy, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
All right, we'll take a few of your calls right now. Your reaction to the game, your high point of the game, your low point of the game. 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Aaron gets us started. He's in Vancouver. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, what's going on, guys, man? I am pumped for week one, and I got to say it's my first call of the season. I'm a little bummed. So an early game, week one, they didn't check with me. I couldn't watch it live because I was in church. So I was a little bummed about that. But that's okay. I think Russell had something to do with it. Anyways, my high would be the Metcalf touchdown was awesome, but I would say Russell's run for, what was it, 25? 30 yards it just showed his command of the game and how he was just pretty much going to take it over and win it for them, not only by cooking, but with his legs, which, you know, we all know he can still do. And then I'd say my low would be all the sacks we gave up. Even though it was early in the game, I had some concern about that. So, anyways, still pumped, and go Hawks.
Aaron, terrific call, Aaron.
Absolutely. Great call. Appreciate you all the way from Vancouver. Just on your low, I think that's a great thing to point out, the sacks. I think for the offensive line, I thought overall they had a really good day. They had a really good day overall. They were shaky at first. Brandon Schell, gosh, the first third down of the game, he gets absolutely blown back into Russell Wilson's knees. That was not my favorite sight to see. But overall, they did well. And Russell, on one particular third down, missed Greg Olsen open on third down. I think that was his only mistake of the game, which also led to a sack that was a really scary one. Got, you know, tackled up by the neck. Yeah. But overall, I was really impressed with Damian Lewis, how he held in there. Ethan Posick had a fantastic game. That was fun. And then that 28-yard run that you referenced, Aaron, I mean, gosh, that was a fun play design. And that, I don't know about you guys, what was that one moment or that one play that was like, oh, whoa, okay, this is completely different. I think the beginning of it was that way for me, but that particular play to me was just like, oh, man, these guys are firing right now.
Man, I don't know if I had that moment. It just...
What about a moment that surprised you? Because that would have been another way to phrase the question, where my answer would have been Aaron's answer, where I was like, okay, I was surprised to see Russell Wilson take off like that. Not because he can't do it, not because we haven't seen it before, but it was just something where it felt like we hadn't seen it for a while. And 28 yards, that was a big pickup. That, for me, I think was a moment where I thought, oh, here we go.
Yeah, watching Russell run is always an electric thing, right? When the 'cause there's always that element of, oh, my God, he's going. And now, at this point in his career, we, you know, you wonder about, okay, what kind of speed does he still have? I mean, he's still got enough speed to be elusive. And he's gonna identify situations where there's enough space for him to be able to run, right? But I'm still trying to think of, like, that moment that I had where I realized, okay, this is how it's going to go today. Maybe it was on one of the Carson catches because, A, he wasn't running, and B, it just looked so well-paced. Like, they were in rhythm. Mm-hmm. Like, if somebody asked you to describe rhythm, it's kind of a weird, abstract concept, but you just know it when you see it. They were in rhythm, and Russell was running the show. It just looked like you want it to look. That's really all I can say. And the fact that it came so early may have been the biggest surprise to me there. I don't know. 206-421-3776, 866-979-3776. We'll take some more of your calls. Maybe I scared off all the callers before. I apologize for that. Some other NFL headlines we'll get to here, though. How about this one? The Seahawks are favored at the moment by 4 points over the Patriots in Week 2. Now, if that holds up, it'll snap a streak of 64 regular season games straight that the Patriots have been favored. That's the longest streak in the Super Bowl era. 64. So how many years is that? Is that 8 years?
I don't know, but it's a lot of years. To be favored? Yeah. I mean, my gosh, that's incredible. I mean, you know, I think that that's one of those things where you talk about the consistency and the run that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had together is incredible. You know, even the Seahawks with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, they don't get that kind of love, you know, in terms of just the outright confidence in their team every single year, every single week, right? So this one isn't surprising to me. The Seahawks, in pretty much every circumstance, are the more, I would say, I'm trying to find the right wording here, the team that I think is the most put together, has the least amount of pieces that you're trying to mesh together through an offseason. The Patriots lost so many key players for them in the offseason, Tom Brady being the biggest one. But then you add, you know, Dante Hightower. You add Kyle Van Noy, who was a really good rush outside linebacker for them. You talk about some of the guys they had in the secondary, Patrick Chung. So there's a lot of key pieces that are missing for this New England Patriots defense and offense, and you wonder how the Cam Newton experience is going to go.
Did you guys see any of Brady? I'm sorry. I was going to say, did you see any of Brady? Because they'll probably be okay with the Buccaneers in that game, and it was semi-close, but it looked like they just have some work to do. You know, like Brady's going to have up and down games, but we've definitely seen the best of him, and I think that they may get better as the season goes on, but watching them was actually kind of a relief that they didn't come out of the gates just firing all over the place. Like, I think that they are definitively behind the Seahawks and where they are right now.
I agree, and I don't think that the hype was necessarily misplaced, because a lot of it was, well, their receiving group is so incredibly spectacular that Brady doesn't have to be as great as he was, you know, before. He has Mike Evans. He has Chris Godwin. Sounds like, Tom, that we have a couple more callers here.
Yeah. I see him. All right. Yeah, now you're rolling. It's okay. Chad is in Linwood. Go ahead, Chad.
What a great game. I want to say that the high for me, I mean, the passing game, first of all, just for opening drive, coming back from those sacks, to eliminate them and get that first down, yeah, that felt really good, but not as good as Russell dropping it in the breadbasket on fourth. Jake, you know, that's not an easy throw to make, and he nailed it. And gosh, the low for me was just letting the Falcons hang around. I mean, they just seemed to march down the field. I mean, I just wanted to see the Seahawks just close it out and just eliminate the aerial threat, they didn't quite do that for me. You know, they still let them have all that yardage. I mean, bend, not break, we're used to that. But I just was hoping to see the defense really put the stamp on the end of the game.
Good call, Chad. And, you know, this is not something that we've really talked about yet. I wanted to ask you about this specifically, Jake. Did you think that on those sacks, maybe at least one of them, that Russ held the ball too long, or was there something else going on there?
I think that when you look at just a few of the plays there in terms of Russell getting sacked, it was him holding onto the ball. I you know, the one sack that I think everybody can remember because it was a kind of a scary sight. I thought maybe he got face masked initially, was the one where he had one defender around his legs and then he had Dante Fowler Jr. go high around, up by his neck, and take him down. That was a tough hit right there. That one was on Russ. When you watch the film and you watch him, he just missed Greg Olsen, who was open, and ended up holding onto the ball. But outside of that, I thought that it was the other sacks came from miscues on the offensive line. And, you know, I think they handled them and they overcame them extremely well. And so I think that was something also that was a sight for sore eyes, is that even though they got put back in difficult positions, they continued to stay aggressive.
If you missed the show, you can always listen to it via the 710 Sports app, powered by Dubin Law Group. We got a couple of you on hold here. Maybe we'll come back around the corner. We'll sum it up and take a few more of your calls there. 206-421-3776 or 866-979-3776. We'll sum it up next.
That wait is over.
They're going to wave him in.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacy. The final word on everything that matters today in sports. Brought to you by Zone In CBD.
Step back!
The highs and the lows. Now, this is not really a game where the lows were particularly easy to find, but you guys have managed to dig up a couple of good ones. 206-421-3776, 866-979-3776. We'll take a few more of your calls here. Christian is in Seattle. What's up, Christian?
Hello?
Christian. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, brother.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? How you guys doing?
Good.
Terrific.
Great.
Yep. Yeah, man, my highs are going to be pretty simple. I think everybody can choose what the high is going to be pretty easily this week. It's going to be the secondary, but mine is going to be for a different reason. I think that it frees up Bobby to be kind of like the best player possible that he could be. It was really nice seeing him free and flying around and making a lot of plays easily. And then the low this week is going to be for me, Jake. I'm going to go with Shaquille Griffin, man. I know you took our new acquisition, but I'm going to take Shaquille because he should be our shutdown guy. And I didn't see much shutdown, man, except for that one pass breakup he had on the tight end down further down the field. So that's my highs and my lows.
Hang on, Christian, are you still there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Christian, are you the same Christian that offered to be our attorney in our trademark lawsuit versus Danny and Gallant?
Exactly right.
Yeah. You guys, this is our lawyer.
Thank you,
I'm
Esquire.
Finally able to attend. Yeah, I'm able to attend, man. What's up?
Christian, that was a great call, and I appreciate you being both our lawyer and a really good caller.
I appreciate you guys for having me. Anything you guys need.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Christian is our multifaceted listener. He can be a lawyer. He can be an excellent caller. He can be whatever you need him to be. So, Christian, thank you for your versatility, man. I love his high, personally.
Yeah.
Now, it's one that, Tom, when you heard it, your eyebrows raised because you've been hearing Stacy and I kind of comment about our frustration with the performance. I wouldn't say frustration. I would just say, you know, the recognizing the fact that they didn't perform up to their standard in which they want to be playing at. But I do agree. I think Quandre Diggs helps, but I would say not necessarily the secondary, but Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams frees up Bobby Wagner in a big way to allow him to, and that's probably what Christian thought he or what Christian meant to say in that situation. Maybe he means the entire group, but I think Jamal Adams, his playmaking ability, the fact that defenses and defensive coordinators are going to be, or offensive coordinators, I apologize, are shifting more of the attention to Jamal Adams and where he is at. That, I believe, makes Bobby Wagner a guy that will benefit when it comes to blitzing himself, when it comes to making plays. And you saw a couple times Bobby making plays at the line of scrimmage or for tackle for loss. And those are the types of plays, those are the types of hits that you're used to seeing Bobby Wagner make, and really, you know, flexing his muscle and showing how big of a factor that he can be.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Pat is in Sparks, Nevada, I believe. Our friend Pat. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing? Long time no talk.
Oh, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
What a great game to start on. First of all, my I want to say my high is when Greg Olsen caught the touchdown pass, because that ball was out so quick, a lot of guys would have dropped that pass because they wouldn't have anticipated that kind of the ball being right there. And he just caught it so easily. I was like, wow, how did he just, you know, he didn't even get a chance to really look at the pass. He just saw the ball hit his hand.
Pat, I 100% agree with you. Do you have a low?
Yes, I do. There's a couple. I was going to originally say the sacks, but you know what? I completely agree with you guys on some of those sacks. I call them rust sacks because – really, those are when Russ is looking at the primary and then maybe even the secondary and go, nope. And he shuts it down. And at that point, I really put that on Russ. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have to accept a few of those a game. And that's fine. I have no problem with that. But I was a little disappointed in the base pass rush. Base pass rush, it's still giving our guy, the opposing quarterback, way too much time. To pick and choose their way down the field. And I wish our base pass rush would a little bit more LJ Collier, a little bit more Benson Maiola. Benson Maiola, by the way, was one of my highs. That Superman sack was ridiculous.
Yeah, same.
And beautiful. And then Jamal
fun.
Adams. I mean, I really should say Jamal Adams. Just all my son and I could do was go, every play seems to be Jamal Adams is doing something. And I was like, wow, that guy was an incredible pickup. So many more positives to take away from this game. But overall, wow. I'm really excited about next week because you talk about a polar opposite kind of a game to look at with a great defense and a running quarterback that we're facing. It's going to be a real great test for Seahawks. I think we're going to do great.
Thanks for the call, Pat. Always great to talk to you.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Pat. It was great to hear your voice. With that, I mean, he threw out a lot of different things, but you know, in terms of the high, I Pat, I agree with you. The Greg Olsen touchdown was so awesome. One, to see the hard work that Russell and him put together in the offseason come onto the field, to see that transition happen so quickly and so smoothly. But also to your point that a lot of other guys, a lot of other tight ends or receivers for that matter, don't make that play. And the veteran savvy that Greg Olsen has, his ability to catch the football, to me was on full display there. Smooth hands, and you see that relationship hopefully really flourishing in the red zone between Russell Wilson and Greg Olsen.
I want to read you guys a text in from the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Someone responding to the same question. So this was his or her high from the game. My high was the fourth down touchdown, that fourth and five completion to DK Metcalf. I think they, meaning the offense, are coming after teams this year. The chip is on both sides of the ball, I think. I don't know why I love that idea, but I like the idea of the chip being on both sides of the ball. And I think it's because you wouldn't immediately think, why would Russell Wilson have a chip on his shoulder? Like, you're a top player in the league. Everyone recognizes that. You were a top 10 offense last year. But I like the idea of tying that aggressiveness to saying, oh, you don't think we can be just as good as, you know, these top five offenses, just as good as these guys? Well, wait. I liked that.
That's a fair point. I mean, Dallas was kind of They led the league in offense last year, total offense, and you've mm-hmm. always got Kansas City. And yeah, it's like the Seahawks' turn to show, hey, you guys think we're still a defensive team? We're really not. We got a good defense, but we're an offensive team. We're going to go out there. We're going to show it. We've got stars whose names you haven't even heard yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to move the huddle to tomorrow, evidently. Going to move
yes.
it back from Thursday, so that'll be fun. We'll be hearing from a couple of players and all of our usual guests. Go to New England, talk to somebody from there. That'll be tomorrow on Tom, Jake, and Stacey, 710 ESPN Seattle.